This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. This week, our guests are two prominent folks in education in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. With us today is Donna Hargens, who is Superintendent for Catholic Education, and she has been with the Archdiocese for about 7 years. Also with her is Greg Farno, who is the Chancellor for Education for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. He's been here about 7 months, so there's a nice dynamic going on there. But we want to talk today about just kind of the state of Catholic education, especially in the Archdiocese, but also what is the real value in Catholic education. And I think we see that. I'm a product of Catholic education myself, grew up, went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, Catholic college. My dad was a public school teacher, but he and my mom really believed in Catholic education. And so they made the effort, the investment to send us. I guess let's start there. What is the value of Catholic education today?
It sometimes, Chris, is in the eyes of the either beholder or participant. But, you know, I think there are broad advantages to Catholic education throughout our system in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. First, of course, is faith formation. Understanding morality and, you know, good versus evil and, you know, how all of that comes about. And that is prominent in all of our schools, regardless of whether the student is a Catholic or not. That's one. Two is something we call safety. I think the students that come to our Catholic schools feel a safe, nurturing environment, and that's extremely important. We hear that a lot from our stakeholders. And then the third, and they're really, you know, a tripod in some ways, is academic excellence. So we can talk, and hopefully will a lot today about that, but parents know that their students, if they stay in the Catholic school system, and sometimes that's a financial question as much as anything,
sure,
they will graduate from eighth grade and go to a great high school, 100%. And as they go to that great high school in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, they will graduate, and the vast majority will go to some secondary education, college, two-year college, perhaps the service, but that is our contract in terms of academic excellence, and we're very proud of that.
Yeah, our recent in our July issue for that highlights graduation, especially for high school. You know, we have a chart that kind of shows that, and 98% of the graduates, more than 2,000 graduates, 98% of them went on to higher education.
Yeah, and that's a pretty profound statistic when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Donna, from your point of view, certainly education has changed over the years. It changes every day. There's probably hard for us to keep up in a lot of ways. How do Catholic schools keep up with all those trends in education?
Well, and I think the core of our core is being Christ-centered. So nurture and sustain the God-given gifts of every person in service to the mission of Jesus. And as the world changes, we have to change with the world, but not lose our core, which is being Christ-centered, which means our students have to learn to use technology. They have to learn to communicate. They have to learn all the things that are essential for them to serve the mission of Jesus. So the investment of Catholic education is not only in an individual, because that's going to make you better every day of your life, but everybody else you serve and you touch and you work with is better because you have this foundation of Christ-centered, as Greg said, academically excellent, and also realizing your full potential and what your gifts can do for the world.
You really are preparing people to get out there and make a difference in the world, right? I look at some of the things that we've highlighted in the Catholic Review. We've got a story upcoming about Notre Dame Prep's anatomage table, which is a hugely high-tech device that helps students really get into sports medicine and musculature and all sorts of things, and opens up healthcare career possibilities to them in the future. We've done stories on the high school that offers financial literacy courses to all of its students to make sure that they know how to, you know, balance a checkbook and open up savings accounts and things like that. It just, all of those kinds of things get out there and you say, well, we can offer a really well-rounded education that makes a difference when this person grows up and becomes an adult. Is that part of your goal too?
Absolutely. The full potential of every person. So who they are and how they can contribute and serve. But you have to have the tools to do that. You have to be able to, first of all, you have to know about the faith and know how to be a good person, but then know how to do math, know how to read well, know all the things that will help you make the world better.
Mm-hmm. And how to respect other people.
Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing is being Christ-centered, an environment that is respectful and nurturing, and again, has a center on Christ.
Mm-hmm. Greg, you've been spent, you know, these first 7 months since you got here in January, came from a career in banking to join us here at the Archdiocese. What kinds of things have you seen when you've gone around to schools that just really impress you?
Yeah, it's if there is a word, and it's hard to boil it down to one word, it's hope and faith. Whether you go to an elementary school, a middle school grades, or high school, in each and every one of our schools, you see great hope and faith that each student and teacher has. And I think that gives the students the energy and the ability to succeed, that hope, the tools that we're providing them is so critical to their development, and they feel it and their confidence grows. And, you know, it manifests itself in things like graduation rate, which we talked about. The statistic you just quoted, Chris, 98% of our students go on to college. College is not the only barometer.
Absolutely.
By any stretch,
right.
But it's telling me that we are preparing our students, as Donna talked about, to enter the world and be very productive members of society, and that's extremely gratifying. But I guess it's that hope that I see every day.
And it's interesting because I guess I would have thought that you might have mentioned something related to facilities or maker spaces or science labs, and you're talking about something much more ethereal than that.
Yeah, you know, I've seen new schools, old schools, refurbished schools, and, you know, the physical plant is important, of course. But it's not where I think the magic occurs in our schools. It's really the teachers, the administrators, and what they deliver. I think Donna called it, when I first got here, the Catholic awe. And of course, I didn't exactly know what she meant. And I do now, after 7 months. It's not in a textbook. It's not in a facility. It's that whole system coming together with our teachers, our administrators, and then our students, which are all great.
Mm-hmm. When you look at things from the standpoint of, obviously, one of the things you're competing against is public schools,
right,
which are, you know, or government schools, I guess, if you want to call it that, for which parents wouldn't have to pay tuition.
Right.
So, I mean, they're paying taxes. We're all paying taxes to support those schools. But how do you help parents understand that this is a good investment?
Well, and I think if they enter a Catholic school, as Greg said, you will see the difference. It is a school family. It is a school community. It is a Christ-centered, respectful environment. It is an environment in which you can learn what you need to learn. And what I've seen our school communities do is wrap their arms in support around families that are going through something, or with students that are going through something. So it's not just about what's in it for me. It's about what can we do together as a school family and as a school community. So that's a huge difference. I think our parents are amazing partners, but they also form a community with other parents and students with other students. So it is remarkable when there's a need, how people rally to help each other and to support each other and to lift each other up, which is part of our faith.
So parents aren't just making a financial investment. They're making a time investment and really putting themselves into this community and being a part of it, right?
Absolutely. You are part of a community, and people choose us because of that.
Well, we are talking today with Donna Hargens, who is the Superintendent for Catholic Education for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and Greg Farno, who is the Chancellor for Education. And we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about some of the neat things that you've got going on when we come back after the break. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. A priest was injured in an early morning fire August 30th that destroyed the historic two-story rectory at St. Anthony Shrine in Emmitsburg. Three people were in the rectory at the time of the fire: Father Mariano Vici, pastor; Father Andres Ayala, associate pastor; and Andrew Boutros, a seminarian. All are members of the Institute of the Incarnate Word, the religious community that staffs St. Anthony Shrine. Father Ayala was flown to Johns Hopkins Bayview Burn Center in Baltimore with serious injuries. No one else was hurt. Sarah Campbell, spokeswoman for the Frederick County Division of Fire and Rescue Services, said the fire is believed to be accidental and started on an exterior porch, causing an estimated $400,000 in damage. Archbishop William E. Lurie visited Father Ayala in the Burn Center and said the priest is expected to make a full recovery. The Archbishop also celebrated a Mass at St. Anthony Shrine one day after the fire. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matisek. Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out. Your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
This is Archbishop William Lurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
We're back on Catholic Review Radio. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and we are talking today about Catholic education, specifically in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. But a lot of the things we're touching on really hit on Catholic education anywhere in the country. We're talking with Greg Farno, who is Chancellor for Education for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and Dr. Donna Hargens, who is Superintendent for Education in the Archdiocese. Thanks so much for being with us here. I know we're talking in the middle of August here, and because of production schedules and things like that, this show isn't going to air until September 8th after school, you know, gets back in session. You have some good news that you've heard over the summer about the blue ribbon from the U.S. Department of Education about some of our schools. First of all, tell us what that blue ribbon means and then what's going on with that.
It is the Blue Ribbon is a nationally recognized award and distinction about excellence in education. So it is a big deal. So to have a blue ribbon for your school means that you are excellent. So we are excited that five of our schools are moving in the process, have moved in the process to be considered for the Blue Ribbon. Immaculate Conception School, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, St. John the Evangelist School, Severna Park, St. Joseph School, Cockeysville, and St. Mary's School, Annapolis. So only 50 non-public schools will get that honor and that distinction and that national recognition. So we have five of the 50 schools that are up for that honor.
That is awesome. And this is not the first time that schools in the Archdiocese of Baltimore have won the Blue Ribbon, right? We've got more than two dozen over the last 10, 15, 20 years, right?
Absolutely. We have a history of Blue Ribbon schools in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, but it's unprecedented to have five schools up for this distinction in the same year.
In 1 year.
So that makes this really exceptional.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be selling a lot of blue balloons and stuff like that over the next couple
of weeks,
gonna we hope.
Wrap ourselves in blue.
You bet. You bet. When you think about an exemplary school, what does that mean? What kinds of things do they have to be doing to get this kind of honor?
Well, they have to grow academically. So we focus on spiritual growth, certainly, which is the foundation to me for academic growth, creating that environment.
That's not what the U.S. Department of Education is looking for.
But academic growth, right? So you have to show that your students are growing academically and you have to meet benchmarks and targets to even be in the running. And then you fill out an extensive application and it becomes a process that is reviewed. So what I've heard schools say is that they learn a lot by filling out the application about all that they've done. Mm-hmm. But it really is about being academically excellent.
Greg, you've got some other initiatives that you're working on this year. One I know is an attempt to increase Latino enrollment. Right now, about 5.5%, maybe 6% of the students enrolled are Hispanic. We have one bilingual school in the Archdiocese, Archbishop Porter's School. What's this new program about, this new effort about, and what are you hoping to accomplish with it?
Yeah, so we are so excited that we kicked off formally our what I call initiative around Latino enrollment on July 1st, but it goes back a number of years. Donna and our team have looked at this for a number of years, and this was just the culmination when we were able to put one of our teammates, Caitlin Ramos, in the position on a part-time basis, but during that part-time, focus 100% on Latino enrollment. But let me step back and with the why. Why did we, as a Department of Catholic Schools, do this? Because there are certainly lots of things that come across our desk every day that we'd love to do. But the Latino population, both in Maryland and across the country, is growing rapidly. And we know that, and we've studied that for the last couple of years. So there's one kind of data point. We also know that this portion of the population generally has a very, very strong Catholic faith. That's kind of another data point we looked at. And then something you mentioned is currently about 5.4% of our student population identifies themselves as Latino. And as we did our homework and our research and we talked to other dioceses, we saw that number was pretty low. Mm-hmm. So what it told us was we were doing two things. We were not executing on our mission, which is to serve all members of our community, all children, regardless of background, race, socioeconomic status. Here was the fastest growing part of our population, yet they were underserved in our Catholic schools. So, and then there was just, you know, the opportunity where we have capacity to bring in more students, which we're always interested in doing that. So we looked at it and we studied it and we said, well, you know, we've got to do it, but this group of students, we've got to make them feel welcome. It's got to be a welcome environment. And that probably means we need to do things a little bit different than we have in the past. And so what we've done is we've hired Caitlin. That was step number one. Two, we put her under our enrollment function under Laura Mooney, because this is a subset of enrollment. And then they stepped back and chose seven schools and parishes to initially focus on. We thought starting modestly and seeing what works, what doesn't work, and where we already have, we know there's a big Latino population in that area, where there are Spanish masses on the weekend. Some of those characteristics.
Right. Some of those indicators.
Yeah.
Talk about enrollment a little bit. I'm sure you won't really know the enrollments until school opens and you see all the kids in the seats and you get to count them. But how is enrollment trending at this point?
Yeah. So because I'm a rookie here, I started in June saying, how's our enrollment? How's our enrollment? And it was like, easy. It's like the start of the fourth quarter in a close football game. There's a lot of action still to go, and there still is. You know, we think we're coming in right now about flat to last year. Mm-hmm. I guess isn't the case where there's a multitude of different schools. Some of our schools have just shown significant enrollment growth. Mm-hmm. There are some that we still need to focus on making sure they reach their potential. Mm-hmm. So I'd say we're, I guess, guardedly optimistic. But I think longer term, and maybe things like the blue ribbon recognition, like focusing on Latino enrollment, we certainly want that trend line going up, not just flat.
Mm-hmm. In terms of addressing Latino enrollment, I think you also have some ideas in terms of trying to educate not only students who may speak English and Spanish, and you're already doing that at Archbishop Borders, but is there also an effort to teach some of our Anglo students Spanish so that they can really kind of communicate better with more people in the archdiocese and in their communities?
Absolutely. So that we have seen students present in Spanish. We did our Cognia reaccreditation, and the students from Archbishop Borders who were non-native Spanish speakers spoke Spanish to the team. So it is great to see and to embrace speaking a different language and to also embrace others. And we're better as a school community when we have Latino families as part of that school community. Their deep faith, their devotion to the Blessed Mother, we're just better as a whole when we include Latino families. So we're excited not only of giving access to those families, but also what it means for us to have them as more Latino families as part of our school communities.
Mm-hmm. One of the concerns, I guess, we hear from parents all the time is that Catholic schools are just not affordable. That they're, you know, and we talked about what that investment is worth. But aren't there a lot of things that the Department of Catholic Schools and the Archdiocese are doing to help people afford a Catholic education?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Chris, because I think and I worry that there are families out there that think of a certain number and go, I just can't do that, and don't give us a chance to work with them because there is significant tuition assistance. There's always a demand for more, and we think about that all the time.
Sure. You probably spend a lot of your time helping raise those funds.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, through, yes, the Archdiocese is extremely generous. our Partners in Excellence, or PIE, which has its breakfast on September 24th coming up, raises a lot of money. Parishes throughout the Archdiocese contribute to tuition assistance. There's the BOOST program run by the state of Maryland. So in our schools, Chris, it's amazing to watch them sit down with a parent, parents, and say, okay, let's start to work on this, and maybe we can pull some money here, and let's apply for BOOST, and hey, there might be a scholarship program you haven't thought about to get that number as low as possible. You know, Donna said something earlier that I think is important. We do require that all of the families pay some portion.
Right.
We think that's all a part of making sure we're invested together and aligned in the future of this young boy or girl.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we have been talking today about Catholic education and its inherent value with Greg Farno, who is Chancellor for Education for Schools for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and Dr. Donna Hargens, who is Superintendent of Catholic Schools. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us today.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you have been listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.